Future Entrepreneurs, we are back in studio today. We're tackling a topic because with lots of experience and observing entrepreneurs, we've seen maybe you guys need some tips and tricks on how to manage and get the best out of your conferences and events. My name is Anya de Klerk. I am a passionate entrepreneur supporter. I get a kick out of helping entrepreneurs and getting them to close their deals. With me in studio, I have Catherine Young. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Anya. Lovely to be here on this side of the table today. Lovely.
It's good to have you here. So, as an intro, we want to give you some tips and tricks how to get the most of out of your time spent at conferences and events. Now, Kath, over the years, we've bucketed three main things, which we believe the big three at conferences and events.
Yeah.
What are these big three?
Yeah. Anya, I love talking about this because we often see entrepreneurs go to events and or conferences hoping, wishing, praying that they will get that deal or they will sign that contract. And very often, I feel entrepreneurs go spend money very often to get there, sometimes spend money to attend. And then once they get there, they sort of fumble their way through it rather than having an event or conference strategy. And I think that's so important. So there are three main buckets that we typically feel if the entrepreneurs can understand how to do that, they will get more value out of conferences and even maybe get good leads to go and have conversations. So networking, and I don't want to use the term networking just generally. It's such a cliche almost in terms of saying you have to network. Networking and being very specific and targeted in your networking. Your business pitch. So that age-old thing, I'm quite controversial with my feeling around that. That age-old thing of saying you have to have your business pitch, your 30-second elevator pitch ready. So when somebody comes up to you, you give them the 30 seconds. The reality, Anya, if I ask you, who have been to many of these events, and you have the opportunity to tell what you do, it's never quite 30 seconds, and they never quite listen, and there's a lot of noise in the background, and people are talking about different things. And then the third one is that of the use of social media. So I think we will cover those three today.
Okay, so let's start off with networking.
Yeah.
So they always talk about the first and the second tier networking.
Yes. Okay, so the interesting thing, let me take an example. I think the best way to describe this is through examples. The interesting thing, the most of the leads that I get for my business and the most of the business that I actually confirm is never through my first tier network. It's always through the second tier network. So let me explain this. So my first tier network are those directly around me. So you are in my network. The guys in the studio who are currently recording us are in my network. My current clients who I directly deal with are in my network. However, my interaction with you, with the guys in the studio, with my current clients, will get me access to the second tier network or not. So actually, I'm in control indirectly of the second tier network as well. So if you feel comfortable with the work I've done or with a conversation we've had, and somebody comes to you and say, hey, we really need somebody to come into a studio and come and talk about something, you may recommend me. In fact, I don't know the person you'll recommend me to, but it's in your first tier, but my second tier network. So I think for conferences and events specifically, what I've learned around networking is that when I go to a conference and an event, believe it or not, I'm actually very introverted. So I have to really think about a conference or event, especially if colleagues don't go with me or people that I won't know necessarily. I have a very specific networking objective when I go. I say I want to connect with at least three in my immediate tier, and I want them to introduce me to one in their tier, right? So by the time I get out of the networking event, I have connected with three people I know, but connected specifically for a reason, and they have introduced me to three people I don't know. That helps me a little bit with the introvertedness of when I have to have that first conversation with somebody I don't know. And secondly, it helps pick up old relationships and discussions that you would not typically be able to just call somebody up and say, hey, you know, we spoke 3 months ago. Networking and events give us that opportunity.
So, Kat, from your experience, yeah. even when networking,
yeah.
do you often take the opportunity to introduce others?
I love your question. I love your question. And Anya, I have this saying that the network is as good to you as you are to the network. Honestly, yeah. I believe so that. True. And for me, especially when I see entrepreneurs at networks and in networking sessions and events, for me, I want to make a point to do the same to those who need a second-tier network.
Almost like paying it forward.
Exactly that. And truly, if you do that for the network comes back and does that for you. So it's about, of course, I will recommend people or I will introduce them in a way that's not brash, but it's my silent vote of approval to a person I know about a third person.
And I can imagine what that means for the entrepreneur,
exactly.
just getting that vouch of affirmation.
I agree. You make such a good point, and I think you've just made me think of something. I think it's incumbent on the entrepreneurs who are at these networking sessions, if they know there are influencers in the room that could potentially introduce them either to access to finance, financiers or potential customers, to actually prep their first tier network and say, I'm going to need your help. Just to introduce. I think you've just made me realize that it's important and it's easy. It's much easier than doing a cold call 7 times trying to get through to a second tier network.
Oh, that's very interesting. So yes, paying it forward.
Yeah, I love that. Love that.
Okay, so I know you've got a bit of a controversial opinion yes. on the business pitch, because very often people say, get your 60-second
yes.
business pitch
yes.
ready and know it off by heart, so when you yeah. meet someone, you are ready to go.
Yeah.
What is your view on your
okay.
business pitch?
Okay, so why I'm not critical, I think that's the wrong word. I am I'm a little bit annoyed about how the business 30-second or 60-second business pitch thing has evolved. The problem is that you take a very nervous entrepreneur, you teach him or her 5 or 6 lines, that sounds like a grade 2 recital,
yeah.
and you put them completely exposed in front of an executive of a company who has 60 seconds, truthfully, not to know what the business of that entrepreneur is about, but to do a check to see if that character of that person is somebody that they resonate with or can respond to. So I'm not suggesting not to pitch your business if you have the opportunity. What I am saying is that if you don't get them to believe in you first, so the way you introduce yourself, if it's a recital, you'll look nervous. They'll think, does this person have the confidence? They'll think, oh, so they're telling me something that they've learned in business school or at a pitching workshop.
Yes.
It's about getting them to trust you in the first 30 to 60 seconds. And the only way, I believe, to get that done is to be completely and utterly authentic. So if we can role play, if you are a high power executive and I have this opportunity, we literally walking to the buffet table together to get some food, and you say, hey Catherine, so what are you doing? For me, it's about the authenticity of saying, geez Anya, it's freaking awesome that I'm able to meet with you. I'm darn nervous. How can you ask me that question? You know, it's about that authenticity, or it's about exposing just who you are, because if they trust you. And very often humor, not sarcasm, but very often humor breaks the tension a little bit. Not being a complete joker, but just being who you are. That just helps so much. Then you will get an opportunity to get to a place where you can pitch your business. But the relationship first needs to be built.
Yes, and it's also often not about going in there, meeting someone and saying what you need. So this whole just ask principle.
Mm.
It's introducing yourself first.
Yes.
your relationship with yourself and your business before you introduce your business.
I fully agree. I fully, fully agree. And tailoring the discussion depending on who you're talking to. So interestingly enough, I just want to touch, I forgot mentioning it when I prepare for networking sessions. But truthfully, so I will, and we will talk about it also when we get to social media, but there's a big event coming up for us, and just to keep this video current, it could be any big event, but there's a big event coming up for us. Last night, I went to search the speakers who will be at that event for the reasons of needing to know, are they in my first or second network? And if they are not in my first network, if they're in my first network, there are a couple, I need to catch up with some of them on some things. But in my second network, in that second tier, I need to let my first tier know if they have a connection that I need to get to the second tier. Or I will make sure that by the time I get to the event, I know enough about my second tier people who will be there to have a very meaningful conversation about the things that matter to my business. So it's very important that depending on who I talk to, depending on who I network with, how I pitch.
So give the entrepreneur some idea if you go. So now we've prepared, we know our first and second tier.
Yeah.
What are the things they can take with to equip themselves so that they can leave their stamp when they meet this first or second tier?
So great question. So there are a couple of things. Firstly, understand the nature of the conference or the event in a way that you know how to dress appropriately. So as a female, let me start with that, right? So sometimes we have to wear heels, sometimes we don't. Sometimes you are on heels the whole day. These are practical tips, but it's real. I want to see the people that I need to see in the morning session if I'm on heels the whole day, because by the end of the day, I think more about my feet, right, than about the business proposition. So dress appropriately. If it's an informal event, don't dress formally. If it's a formal event, dress respectfully, right? So that's the first thing. The other tip I can give is that be prepared, as I said, with who you want to meet with beforehand. Some events and conferences have the facility where you can actually book meetings online with people that you want to connect with. Then do that and be informed. The third thing is very importantly for me, be in the room 15 minutes before the session starts, whatever session that is. Why? Because you have an opportunity to connect, where if you rush in last minute, that opportunity is missed. Very often in waiting for the event to start, there's a conversation. What are the conversations? It could be as simple as, gee whiskers, I looked at the agenda for the day. There's so many things that are of value. What sessions are you going to be in? Right. So as an example, so I always make sure I understand the agenda. I understand the sessions that I want to be in. And then depending on the detail of the agendas that are published beforehand. So this is a very strategic approach and it depends on who's in the room and what you want to achieve. But depending on the sessions, I may prepare one or two questions. So I will know there's a Q&A coming. I will be very aware of what happens in the sessions and I will have two or three questions prepared and hopefully have an opportunity, if it's appropriate, to ask my question in a way that I'm asking a question of a potential client who's in the room. All of a sudden, and literally another tip, when you ask the question, before you ask it, you make a statement. Why? It establishes you as a little bit of a thought leader. I have this opinion about this issue. However, through your presentation, Mr. Whoever's on stage, you highlighted this issue for me. Can you help me understand that better? All of a sudden, somebody else in the room who has a similar question, who I've researched, hears about this and sees me as a bit of a thought leader. So I'm selling third tier now. Not even second tier.
How clever is that?
So it's another tip, right?
That's your secret tip, I'm sure. Thanks for sharing us.
Sure.
And then lastly, what came to mind for me is that having your business cards readily available.
Absolutely. Tell me about that.
Because
I agree.
Really, you don't want to be sharing numbers and writing down and wasting time. You want to spend that time engaging and questioning and understanding and selling yourself as an entrepreneur. And they can later take it and make contact.
Anya, I completely agree. And then very often, I know also when I'm at networking events, very often I get handed a business card. And what's almost, and if I exchange, what's very impressive for me is when that entrepreneur closes the loop the next day and writes an email, hey, we've met, it was cool to meet you, but not an email that sounds or smells like selling. So the email, another tip, the email would be something very interesting, or it would be, hey, you know, thanks, it was great meeting you yesterday. After our discussion, I actually went and thought a little bit more, and I went and searched this just to make sure, and then you come with something meaningful that's related to that person's problem, and then there's a connection. Otherwise, if it's just, hi, it was so nice to meet you, hope to see you again, that will go nowhere. That's the end of the email trail.
And exactly, sticking to what you've promised that person
when you met them.
So often we make this commitment to say, okay, I know this person, I can give you this lead in terms of networking. So putting your money where your mouth is. If ever you promised anyone something, make sure to put your money where your mouth is.
I fully agree.
And then to link to that as well, once you've closed the loop, if you are strong at building your LinkedIn network, which we found very powerful, make sure that you can connect on LinkedIn as well.
I fully agree with you. And we're going to get to social media. Are you okay if I jump to social media?
Yes.
Because that's such a nice interlead. So let's talk about social media. So for me, and I want to link to your LinkedIn conversation. So for me, social media is very important during conferences and events in three phases. Before the event, during the event, and after. Before the event, there will be a hashtag, and I'm going to explain that now. I think we should both explain hashtags versus handles. There's a hashtag, so let me talk about a hashtag. On Twitter specifically, there is a notion called the hashtag. It's literally a hashtag, and then some a word or sentence or half a sentence or whatever they call that. That is almost, you can see it as the topic of the conversation. So, there are always conversations happening on Twitter all the time. So, if you want to have some fun, go to your country specific and go check what is the hashtag for the day that's trending. It's always something funky. The whole country's talking about it. Even sometimes the world's talking about it. So, Beyonce, when she just announced that they're expecting twins, Beyonce's hashtag on the twins were, that was it for 2 days, and we spoke about nothing else. But the hashtag is the topic of the conversation. So as an example, if we use a networking event, let's use an event that we're going to, that we're planning for currently. It's the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, and it happens annually. So that conversation literally goes by the title, hashtag GEC and the year that it's applicable to. So if you go before the event and you know that there's a specific event you want to go to, go and see on the website what the name of the event is. They will give you a hashtag and start on Twitter following that hashtag. You will see conversations happening. You will see updates of agendas. And you will start seeing who are the key role players in that conversation before the event. Very often it's organizers, partners, sponsors, key clients who have meaningful reason to be part of that conversation. You want to get in on the conversation. So you want to talk on that hashtag, right? So that's a hashtag. Do you want to explain handle before we continue?
Okay, so a handle, the best way to explain it is literally the person who you want to grab or give attention to. So everyone has a name on Skype or Twitter.
Yes.
So I am at Anya de Klerk.
Yes.
And that is to make sure I get the message, or if a message is targeted at me,
yes,
that it grabs my attention and it reflects in my account.
Exactly. So in this example, imagine we want to have a conversation now about the GEC coming up. Catherine, so my handle is at Catherine H. Young. I want to talk to Anya and tell her something about GEC. So the message on Twitter, as an example, will go something like this. At Anya de Klerk, hashtag GEC 2017, 2018, 2019. Can't wait to see you there. I see you are on the agenda. Mind to share some topics. And we are starting a conversation on Twitter on that hashtag But it's open to the big wide world.
Even though we have never ever met.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of what you're saying, Anya. I may not know Anya, but I'm having a conversation. So that's pre the event. During the event, you have to do meaningful tweeting, sharing, posting, retweeting, sharing, posting. There's a couple of rules with retweets and shares, etc., etc. I'm going to share a couple. I'm sure you have many more in your head, but a couple of rules with retweeting. When you're retweeting, sometimes you are in an event, and then it's all about traffic on the particular hashtag. So in that case, your tweet meaningfulness will drop a little, but your instances will up a little. So there's always that fine balance between traffic management of social media and meaningful, okay? So my suggestions are always this. Meaningful tweets. What do I mean by meaningful tweets? When you retweet something, you will do meaningful hashtags. In the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, as an example, a meaningful hashtag would be hashtag entrepreneur. So anybody in the world who's looking for a conversation about entrepreneur can see this. Hashtag SME, small medium enterprise. Hashtag South Africa. Hashtag South African event. Whatever those hashtags are, you put meaningful and you put thought into it. As I say, as it gets really busy, sometimes you will just retweet, not give more hashtags, but then you increase your traffic again. And you continuously do the balance. And then what I find, what I do at the end of a session, as things are ramping down, I will do two or three very meaningful tweets. So it may be off a retweet, but then I will give my flavor on it. Because as the event is going, it's too quick to really give a lot of thought to it. What have you got on that you can share?
So I'm thinking of it from an entrepreneur angle where maybe you're a big sponsor or a participant at an event. You've got an exhibition stand. You're a guest speaker or a panelist at the event. You might be running a campaign of your own where you will be posting vectors and those type of things. What we've realized with those type of campaigns from an entrepreneurship angle is that it's very important to benchmark it before you start a campaign because you have to start seeing what works for you and what works best for you.
Correct.
So, and learning by doing.
Correct.
You can't do anything wrong. If you tweet or if you post anything, you can remove it again. But it's all about experimenting. So the benchmarking, execution, and then the measurement again to see what worked, what didn't work, what attracted attention, and ultimately to grow your fan and follower base.
I fully agree with you. And it's not complicated. So benchmarking literally just means you see where you are at currently in terms of follower numbers, reach, and engagement, and then you do your thing and you measure it afterwards and see what worked and what didn't work. What's important, what we've also learned, is that as an entrepreneur, when you are planning the event, so your pre-social media phase, and you are posting these images or you're posting thoughts, make sure they're professional, make sure they're meaningful. Because from your first post, it gives an image of you as a business, okay? So make sure that you understand the latest design trends if there's an image that's going to go. Make sure that if you use an image that's not yours, that you give credit to whose image it is, however that is, but it needs to be professional. So that's during the event. And then after the event on social media, there are always a couple of analyses. Make sure you get onto those because then you get the journalist's eye on it. Or they get an eye on you and make sure you're in the analysis of it. But now, by now, I always say, if we go into an event and I didn't in my personal capacity, as well as in our business capacity, get a minimum of 25 followers for me in my personal capacity, double that for the business, I had a bad event. And
really?
It's my fault. Because I didn't plan it properly, I didn't have the right conversations, and I didn't do the right meaningful sharing and resharing.
Sure, okay. That is quite a target to get to, so keep that in mind when you benchmark yourself.
I'm happy if we start at 5, right? That's okay. So that's on social media, I think.
So those are the big three. We called it networking, business pitch, and social media.
Yeah.
So have any closing thoughts around the three?
Sure. So I think with networking, you have that one opportunity to really come across professional and knowledgeable. And knowledgeable does not mean a blabbermouth necessarily. So we did a session, and for the entrepreneurs who are watching Microsoft Virtual Academy videos, make sure to check the session with Denver Fakanas on listening in your first session. It's almost a little bit like that. In the networking, you should listen a lot, but when you speak meaningfully. And be professional, be dressed accordingly, be clean, look clean, smell nice, whatever the dress code is for the event. And then make sure you carry the business cards, as you said, in your pocket so that you can hand them out. There are also different ways of doing business cards. It's not all about the paper necessarily anymore. It could be an electronic means or whatever, but it's that. And then your LinkedIn profile should be updated before you go to the event. It should be up to date. Your Twitter profile should be very active before the event, because they sniff you out quickly if you only start doing it at the event. And then also, if you have a business where you have B2C and it's Facebook related or Instagram related, those need to be up to date, squeaky clean. That's in terms of networking. In terms of the pitch, just to reiterate, if you only have that 30 seconds with, you walk into the room and there is Richard Branson. It's first about you, about how you engage with the environment, and then about your business or your then your business, and then about your product or your service, really. And then lastly, social media, meaningful posting. I think those are the three things in mind for me.
So guys, these are honestly the big things that we've observed during the years and our experience in entrepreneurs. Yeah. It takes a bit of homework, but once you get into it, you'll see it comes naturally so after much. A while. So make sure whatever you do and when you event, that you get the maximum out of your events and networking.
Yeah.
We'd like to share just three quick resources at entrepreneur.com, 7 tips on networking. Foundersgrid.com, the 50 entrepreneurs share their social media tips if you want to know more about that. And then Forbes.com, 7 tips for pitching your entrepreneur ideas. So, Catherine, thank you very much
for
sharing.
Thank you, Anya.
Good luck with your events. Make the most of it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.